Most of you know Heath is away in a meeting, so you'll get a couple of new guys, quote unquote, this morning as we preach. We have in our Wednesday afternoon Bible class on occasion talked about the fact that some people have a reluctance to study the Old Testament. And so we're going to try to answer that question today. Some will say that the Old Testament is outdated and not relevant, that it was given to another generation, to another group of people. Others will say, well, we're under the new covenant, we're not under the old, and so it's a waste of time to study things that don't pertain to us anymore. But then I remembered, and it was almost 50 years ago to the year, that Brother Farrell Jenkins out of Florida College wrote a book called The Old Testament in the Book of Revelation. He made some good points in the foreword and the preface there that it kind of made sense that if you were going to write the Book of Revelation and where it says that these things must shortly come to pass, that you would expect the readers to understand it. And it seemed to make sense that if you use their imagery, their knowledge of the Old Testament, and some of the apocalyptic writings there, that this made sense to use those same things in that book so that those people understood it. And then Brother Homer Haley, in the foreword to that, made the comment that, well, you know, the Old Testament is the soil out of which the New Testament grew. But again, you know, these are just men. I am just a man. You're just a man. What we really want to do today is to answer that question. And we already mentioned that some say yes and some say no. But we want to imitate the Bereans. Remember in Acts chapter 17, it says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures to see if the things that were being said were so. And then we got to step back and say, well, what scriptures did they search? You know, the New Testament was in the process of being written, and perhaps at this time it might not have been any of the teachings that they were given by spiritual gifts that they had taken pen and ink and put down on paper. And that's what scriptures means. That means ink on paper. The teaching can be oral, but when they're talking about scriptures, it's something you can look at, something that you could read. So we're going to try to imitate the Bereans and look in the scriptures. We're going to start with Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. In this particular place, Paul begins in verse 10 commending Timothy for his loyalty to Paul as Paul went through some of his trials and tribulations, and Timothy stuck with him. But he says, then that Timothy warned that if you're going to try to live the way God wants you to live, you're going to suffer persecution. If we're not suffering persecution, you kind of got to ask yourself, are we living the way God wants us to live? And certainly when we look at this world, there are a number of things out there that we need to stand against, that we need to stand for, we need to teach against, we need to teach for. So, and there are going to be those that oppose us, so we're going to suffer persecution. And then he tells them that it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And you know, I sat back and I thought, well, take a look at this world today. I can remember back as a child, you know, this world kind of looked pretty rosy. And now that I'm over 70, I sat back and looked and said, this is going to pot. Everything that is happening, we're approving murder, we're condoning drug use, and all kinds of different things that we'll have to find. And what Paul told him that it'll get worse and worse is certainly applicable to us today. But then if he is going to continue, and Paul wants him to continue, we want us all to continue in order to obtain the prize that is there. It says, in order to continue, you must know your source. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing, and knowing from whom you have learned them. And here Paul is saying, Timothy, you gotta know your source. You gotta know where your belief came from. And we understand from the book of Romans that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to look at God's word, which is what we intend to do today. And then he tells them, he adds to that, which is the, you know, the source that he's talking about there is a New Testament teaching that's being revealed now. But he says, also from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ. Well, if my calculations are correct and my research is correct, Timothy was about 16 years old when Jesus was crucified. And his childhood was about 3 years in the past, according to Jewish tradition. So at 12, 13, they became a man. And the only scriptures available to Timothy there were the 400-year-old scriptures of the Old Covenant. But notice also that we're talking about 65 A.D. And we'll come back to that in just a second. But the verbiage that Paul uses there, he says the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Remember, this old covenant was nailed to the cross in approximately 33 A.D. Paul is writing in 65 A.D., and those scriptures which Timothy knew were still able to make him wise unto salvation. Now, here's where a lot of people tend to fall down a little bit, because they think these old scriptures are able to save, but Paul doesn't say that. He says they'll make you wise unto salvation, but he doesn't say that these Old Testament scriptures will save you. And as we look through the New Testament, we find there were a lot of Judaizing teachers who were wanting to instill circumcision into the new law. And they said, no, no, it might make you wise unto salvation, but it's not part of this new law. So these scriptures we're going to take a look at in the New Testament. What does the New Testament record? And again, we're going to use the New Testament scriptures in order to show what they think about the Old Testament. Well, if the research that I looked at was correct, and every place I looked seemed to have a different number. Some people thought 200 and 300 direct quotations and then other things. But it seems like if we look at all of the quotations from the Old Testament, look at all the paraphrases, all the inferences, there are approximately 1,000 references back to that Old Testament. They are preferenced by statements such as, it is written, have you not read? This is that which is spoken by the prophet. Then the scripture is personified. It says, the scripture says, as if the scripture could stand up and speak to you. And it also says, and the law says. Again, the law being a particular part of this Old Testament scriptures. Now, let's look at some of the things that there. Jesus used the Old Testament. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, after coming out from the wilderness and being tempted by Satan, he looked at Satan and says, it is written. Where was it written? The Old Testament. Then it comes in Matthew chapter 5 when he begins his Sermon on the Mount. He says, have you not read? So he's again talking about their reading of the Old Testament, and he takes a couple of the commandments there, specifically murder, and says, you know, under the old law, if you murdered somebody, you were guilty. But you could hate, as long as you didn't touch him. But Jesus says, now that's not true. The seed of murder is hate. The seed of adultery is lust. So he uses what they knew from the Old Testament and begins to build a lesson. And again, if many of you who are teachers do that same thing. You take the student where he's at, what his knowledge is, and you make that knowledge apply to the new teaching. So Jesus was teaching there. One of my favorite have you not read passages is in Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 26. Mark chapter 12, verse 26. He says, but concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage? Jesus didn't have book, chapter, and verse, did he? The numbers that we, and the divisions that we have now came later. But could you find it if you read the book of Moses and looked for the burning bush passage? Yeah. It was there. You could read it. how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. And I believe the King James says, you greatly err, not knowing the Scriptures. But anyhow, what he's saying here is that Jesus was using this in order to correct these Sadducees. Then in John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus says, you know, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He says, but these are they that testify of me. So we find evidence of Christ in the Old Testament, and we'll begin to see that as we take a look at some of the other New Testament characters. Remember Philip? He joined himself to the chariot, that the eunuch was there, and the eunuch was reading from Isaiah. And Philip asked him the question, and he asked if he understood what he read, and he said, well, no, how can I? It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Jesus was preached in the Old Testament scripture of Isaiah. Paul used it in Acts chapter 17, in verse 2. Acts 17, verse 2, it says, then Paul, as his custom was, went unto them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. What scriptures? Got to be the Old Testament. A lot of the New Testament wasn't even on paper yet. But he reasoned with them from the scriptures. And then in Acts chapter 26, Paul is in front of Agrippa, and he says even more distinctly, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to great and small, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Now, we just finished a class on evidences, and one of the top of the list of evidences is the fulfillment of prophecy. And that 400-year gap makes a big deal. You know, after 400 years, there's nobody left that knew what they said. They'd have to read it, but they could see these prophecies coming through. And then a man named Apollos in Acts chapter 18 and verse 28 said, Apollos vigorously refuted the Jews, publicly showing from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. We can show from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ. And Apollos certainly did that. So our New Testament characters here are doing a lot of different things to show us that there is value to the Old Testament. But let's take a look at some of the things that Paul said. Remember Romans chapter 15 and verse 4? Heath has used that a lot. I've used it a lot. And it says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. What do we learn? Well, he goes on to say that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We can show from the Old Testament Scriptures the hope that we have. You can show from the Old Testament Scriptures the hope that the Jews had. And you can show by the teaching that this Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy, and these things were written so that we might know that. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, he's talking about the time there where the children of Israel were going to be spending some time in the wilderness, and talks about all the things that occurred to them there. And he says that these things that were there were written so that we might learn, remember, things written for our learning, not to lust after evil things as they also lusted. So here we have some examples from which we can learn how we are to live our lives according to the way God wants us. Do we live in obedience or do we live in disobedience? Now, in verse 11 of chapter 10, Paul says, here's why it is. Now, all these things happened to them as an examples, but they were written for our admonition. Written to then for their admonition today. I suggest to you that they're written for our admonition, our learning, yet today. And then finally, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul says that therefore the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Yeah, I never had one, but I think a couple of my boys did some tutoring. And if we know what tutoring is, you go and you try to teach somebody, try to help somebody through some sort of subject. My best thing would have been arithmetic, I think. But if you want to get up into algebra, it might be a little different. But the thing of it is, it was a tutor. It was like a primer to do things. And I, as I thought there, you know, as young children, we sat in class with our teachers, and they taught us addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And my sixth grade teacher, we reviewed a lot of that. We had 4 pages in our arithmetic book. 7, 20, 33, and 50 were the page numbers. How do I remember that? Because if we got caught being bad, we had to write down those 50 problems on each of those 4 pages and solve them and hand them in. That was our punishment. So if somebody says 7, 20, 33, and 50, it doesn't mean a thing to you, but it means something to me. But those were the primers. What do you use your arithmetic for today? How many of you balance a checkbook? Can you balance it without those fundamental principles of arithmetic? Well, that's kind of the place that the Old Testament is in. It gives you some fundamentals on which to build. Now, let's go back to Timothy. We're going to finish up this particular passage here, beginning with verse 16. Then Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I looked around at some of the things that people said, and I was yet to find a logical explanation that will take the Old Testament inspired Scriptures out of this word all. This word all includes, does not exclude, the Old Testament. So the Old Testament was inspired just as well as the New Testament. So he says all the Scriptures that's given by inspiration of God are profitable. Well, they're profitable for doctrine. We've already seen where Jesus said, you know, the Old Testament Scriptures testify of him. We've seen where different men have preached Jesus from these Old Testament Scriptures. So yes, Paul, the Old Testament is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Remember, Apollos, he refuted the Jews vigorously from the Old Testament Scriptures. Jesus corrected the Sadducees from the book of Moses and the burning bush passage. And again, I don't know that maybe a few of us remember Marjorie Lyming. I was a member here long, long ago, and I was having a little bit of trouble trying to distinguish the Sadducees and the Pharisees and which one of them believed in the resurrection. And she pointed out, he says, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. They will be sad, you see. And that's always stuck with me, and that's one of the ways I can keep them separated here. But Jesus corrected them. Jesus refuted them. So then it says, for instruction in righteousness. And then we just talked about a few of these things. It says, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust. And all the New Testament writers have used these things to instruct us on things that we need to do. How would we know from the preaching of the New Testament how, and the Old Testament, how to behave as God would have us to behave? We have numbers of examples in the Old Testament where the people sinned against God and they were punished. But we also have records of things that they did and they were rewarded. So reward and consequence is one of the main themes that we can gain from the Old Testament. We put New Testament lessons together. Now, in order to finish up here, looks like I'm going to be a little early, if you will, but that's all right. The teachers will have a little bit more time to get their classes prepared. What's your opinion? Does your opinion of the Old Testament agree with what the New Testament writers had to say? I suggest to you that we have a lot of things that we can study and should study from the Old Testament. Not that we study the Old Testament totally, not that we study the New Testament totally, but we mix them together so that we might learn how God wants us to live. Brother Kyle, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?